Hey there, friend. Listen, I want to invite you to join me for an upcoming presentation I'm offering called How to Shift from Willpower to Want Power. If you're tired of feeling like you have the best of intentions with food and weight, only to have it all fall by the wayside by the time your head hits the pillow at night, then this is for you. If you're interested in making permanent weight loss easier and less of a struggle, then this is for you. If you're curious what want power is, which you probably should be, and can't wait to learn how to incorporate it into your journey toward peace and freedom around food, then this is for you. I'll be presenting live twice on Wednesday, May 1st, 2024, at both noon and 7:30 p.m. Central Time Zone. I'll answer your questions live and we'll have a really good time together. But if you can't make either of those days, I'm not going to make you get a replay emailed into your inbox, only for it to get lost and never be watched, no matter how deeply you want to make time to go through it. Because I mean, honestly, who are we kidding? We've all done this, including me. No, instead, we are offering multiple watch parties for several days after the live presentation. So come watch the replay with other doctors and interact in the chat with them and my team. So either way, whether you come live or to a watch party, it will be worth your time for sure. All you have to do is register at katrinaubelmd.com/wantpower. That's katrinaubelmd.com/WANTPOWER. See you there. You are listening to the Weight Loss for Busy Physicians podcast with Katrina Ubel, MD, episode number 255. Welcome to the Weight Loss for Busy Physicians podcast. I'm your host, Master Certified Life and Weight Loss Coach, Katrina Ubel, MD. This is the podcast where busy doctors like you come to learn how to lose weight for the last time by harnessing the power of your mind. If you're looking to overcome your stress eating and exhaustion and move into freedom around food, you're in the right place. Well, hello there, my friend. How are you doing today? I'm so glad you're here. So glad you're joining me. I always hear the people say they can't hear background noise, but I was just checking. I don't know. My dog is just kind of losing his mind today and I don't know what to do. I think he's mad at the washer, the clothes washer. I don't know. I don't know what to say. There's like yard work going on in the background somewhere. I'm like, you know what? That's just the how it rolls sometimes when we work from home. I'm not in a sound studio. It's just how it is. So this episode is airing the first week after American Thanksgiving. So just wanted to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, belated, and also have you check in. How did it go? Did you create a plan? Did you follow your plan? Are you happy with how it went? Even if food wasn't an issue, how did it go for you mentally in terms of your thoughts around the food? Did you struggle to not eat certain things? Was your over desire kicked into high gear? Were you struggling with different relationships or seeing people or, you know, the conversations that happened throughout that day? Because I always feel like Thanksgiving or big holidays like that are just a magnifying glass on what is actually going on in our lives. Like if you want to know why you struggle with your weight and overeating, just think about what happened on that day. just spend a little time pondering that and you'll probably get a lot of awareness out of it. I am also can't wait to share with you my success story today, the weight loss success story of my client, Stephanie Daly. She is an amazing nephrologist. She's in a two physician family. They have five children. Okay. Some of whom are adopted. Like they are just this amazing couple. And she has not only created great weight loss success, but really has changed so much of her experience of her life in so many different areas. We actually didn't even get into all of them on our conversation, but she really shares how she made working as a doctor more fun, like how she actually started enjoying her job again. And, you know, so much of the work that we do is around this, right? Like, how do we take something that feels like a slog, like we're so stuck and it's never going to be fun, and how do we learn to enjoy it again? And that's exactly what she's done. She talks all about her life, her relationships, particularly with her daughter. It's amazing. So good. And I just think that there's always so much that we can learn from hearing about other people's success. Remember that success leaves clues, right? People have success. We want to pay attention. We want to, you know, listen to what they say and make sure that we are gleaning from their story whatever we can to help us. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to be the first one to figure everything out. Like, other people have paved that path and we can go, you know what? Ooh, that's a good pearl. That's a good nugget. I'm going to apply those to my life and get started getting some results. So please enjoy my conversation with Stephanie Daly and to join me on the free training, How Losing Weight is Different for Doctors and What to Do About It, head over to KatrinaUbelMD.com/different. All right. Please enjoy Stephanie. Stephanie, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
You are so welcome.
I'm so glad you're here today. I am really excited for you to share your story and tell everybody about just all the progress that you've been able to make through life coaching in our program. And I think it's just, it's so, oh my gosh, it's so good. But we always like to start with a little introduction. So just introduce yourself a little bit, what you do, where you live, a little bit about your family.
Perfect. So I am a nephrologist in Louisville, Kentucky, and my husband is also a nephrologist, and we have 5 kiddos. So 2 working physicians, 5 kids, crazy busy home. And yeah, I have struggled with weight loss since college. I think that was really when it kind of started. And I just found myself in college, you know, 20 pounds up, 20 pounds down. And that was okay. I was doing all the different programs. I've done them all. And then after having some pregnancies, the weight just kept piling on. So what happened for me that was the biggest start to all of this was COVID. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate. So in February, March, the world shut down. And I was coping with food at like a very alarming rate. I knew, like, by April, I was like, I'm not going to survive this pandemic if I don't do something. If I don't do something, I'm not going to make it.
So within like a couple of weeks, really, right? Because I always think of it as March 13th is when everything shut down, because that's my mom's birthday. And so I always just like is the kind of date in my head. So it was pretty quick. Within a couple of weeks, you were like, this is not good.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, it was in April. And I was like, you know what? I thought the weight was the problem, not the other way around, right? I was like, oh, if I could just control the eating, then everything else would magically be better. And it was not magically better. So anyway, I was online one night and I had considered meeting a surgeon to talk about a gastric sleeve is kind of where I was. And I'll back up and say, I have some amazing friends who have taken that route and they've done phenomenal. They've done phenomenal. And I'm so thankful for them. But I just knew, like, in the pit of my stomach, like, that's not where I want to be kind of thing. So anyway, I was on the internet. I had not heard of your program. I had not done the podcast. And I'm thankful for that because that's my journey, right? And somebody mentioned your name and I clicked on your website. And it said 2 things. The first thing it said is weight loss for busy physicians. And I was like, check mark. I can relate, right?
Like, that's me.
I'm in that club already. And then the second thing it said was lose weight permanently. Lose weight for the last time. Something along those lines. And I can tell you, if there was ever a moment in my life that I felt like my brain just opened up and shot fireworks out the top, that was the moment.
You're like, how can I be so lucky?
Right? And I was like, oh, wait, no. Like, I've signed up. I'm a lifelong member of all these weight loss programs because they told me the weight was going to come back. Right? Like, I'm lifelong. And so I was so excited. I was so excited. That's all I needed to hear you say. And I just had faith. I paid my deposit that night, not knowing what I was in for. Isn't that fun?
I love that. It's so fun. You're like, I don't know what this is, but I know I need it.
I was like, you know, and what I told myself is I really have nothing to lose. Well, I have the financial commitment, but if this doesn't work for me, then I know I have to look into surgical options. And if that is where I need to be, that's where I need to be. But I want to know before I do that, that I've checked off every other box.
Yeah, totally. Which I think is actually really smart, because we've had plenty of people come into the program who have had, you know, bariatric surgery of various kinds and still have struggled and still need help. And even, you know, we get people who come into the program who are like, listen, I don't need to lose weight, but I know I need to work on my brain. So it's like, you can come at this work from lots of different angles. But I think for people who are, I mean, obviously I'm not going to speak to everybody's personal situation. You know, I can't possibly know what's the right thing for everybody, but I do like to suggest like, hey, you know what? You might want to consider trying this work first before you get the surgery, because then at least you're, you know, setting yourself up for success, even if the surgery is required, you know, after. But what I typically find is people are like, yeah, I don't need to do that because I, you know, I've really solved this. And I've even had bariatric surgeons recommend my podcast and my program to people. Yeah. I'm like, okay, so they're on board. They understand that there's this angle to it, right? That's one element that can be a solution, but you know, there's these other aspects that, you know, we have to deal with if we don't want it to turn into another problem. Cause that's the other thing, right? You can get the bariatric surgery and then not overeat anymore, but lots and lots of people who do that end up with an alcohol dependency or overusing alcohol or overdoing something else. Like the problem, you know, whatever you use to make yourself not feel, you'll just find something else. So maybe it's not food anymore, but now it's a different problem. And what I've always said is like, listen, if food is going to be the thing, then I think I'd rather just stick with food than have to figure out how to stop doing some other thing too, because I'm like hopping between, you know, different ways of not feeling my emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will just share that my husband and I had found that early on in our marriage, before we had kids, we were kind of doing that with alcohol. So we had made a decision like 15 years ago to just be an alcohol-free home. You know, like if we're out and we want to have a drink socially, fine. But for us, having a drink every night after work wasn't a way we wanted to show up in life. And so I was the same way. I was like, oh, if I get rid of the food, I'm going to start stocking wine again. And I was like, oh, no.
Right.
No, you are.
We're not going down that path. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Totally. Totally. So, okay. So you sign up for the program. You're like, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm going to do this. Now, what happened after that?
So what happened after that was I did it very much. If you said it, I did it. Like if that is what your program taught me, I did it. And so obviously my motivation at the beginning was once I made my protocol and I ate my foods, I started dropping weight like a rock. I mean, it just was phenomenal. And the most exciting thing about that for me was that was the first time in my life I had not been miserable losing weight.
Me too. I just want to say, right? It's like, usually it's like so uncomfortable and you're like, this is actually okay. More than okay. Yeah. I love that.
Yes. I mean, I had done the programs where you count the food, you measure the food, and the programs where you buy their food. And I was like, that's just, for me, misery. Like, you know, eating this cold box of food, that's a tiny amount of food because someone else told me to do it, you know? And that's, I knew 100% that wasn't sustainable for my life. And that wasn't a way I wanted to live. And I was living on diets to even attempt to control my weight. So I just was so excited. After the first month, I was like, I have the ability to choose my foods. My brain is in charge. My brain is going to do what I tell it to do. And I'm an adult and I make decisions. And I just loved it. I loved that I had the ability to write a protocol, to follow it, to buy food, to plan food, and lose weight. And I cannot say this enough. Before I met you in your program, if you had told me if all the things you can do or not do in life, I would have said that was something I could not do. Like I would have said, like, I could probably be a skydiver and I am terribly afraid of heights before I could choose my own food and lose weight.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, like the whole industry has taught us that we can't trust ourselves. right? Like if you could trust yourself, then you wouldn't have this problem. Therefore, you need us to come in and rescue you and tell you what you need to do. And then when you're not able to do what they say, then it must mean something negative about you. Right? Like it's not that their program's the problem, you're the problem. And so then this is just what we repeat and repeat and repeat. And we're like, I've just got to find that one person who's going to be able to tell me that thing that I, you know, that I need to do that I'll be able to do and, you know, ongoing. And we never find it. We have to take back that ownership that we actually are the experts in our own lives. I mean, you know, 2 physician family, 5 kids, like I can't possibly, how could I or anyone possibly know what is the best way for you to eat? But you know, and so with some guidelines and some, you know, some instruction, you can create a plan that works for you. It's so empowering, right? Then you're eating food you like, that tastes good to you, that you can prepare, that, you know, works with the family, works with all the other limitations in your life. And you like it and it's not a hardship. Isn't that amazing? Oh my God, I love it.
It is amazing. And early on, you guided us through the model where like you've had plans like A through G. And what a comfort that was. Like I went through every scenario, like, you know, the kid's sporting event goes over, you know, I'm stuck at work. I didn't get to the grocery, whatever. I did every scenario that I could think of and had a food plan for it. So I wasn't in this state of panic, like, oh my gosh, what if I don't get home to measure the amount of green beans I'm going to eat? Or what if I don't get home to heat up this nasty meal that I've purchased that somebody else has told me to have for dinner, you know?
Yeah, totally. It gives you that flexibility and freedom to live your life and still be able to eat in a way that serves you, which is how this ends up being permanent, right? Because you are learning how to actually live your real life and make decisions that support you, that work for you. And based on, you know, all the, like, I always remember, you know, sometimes they'd be like, well, you need to buy like these real specialty foods. And sometimes if I was like in some group or something, they'd be like, well, you know, I live in the middle of nowhere. Like that stuff's not available. They're like, well, you know, you can just try to like buy it online. I'm like, yeah, that is true. But like, really, the answer is that we have to buy like 3/4 of our food online because we live in a more rural area. I'm like, that just like literally doesn't make sense to me. It really has to be that complicated. Like it probably really doesn't. That was always, I think, what kept me going. It's like, does it really have to be this hard? Like, I just can't believe that weight loss has to be so complicated or so difficult. Like there's got to be some other way. And I'm glad I kept, you know, persevering to find it.
Yeah. And I remember you, I don't know if this was on a coaching call or in a video you sent, but you said at one point, I made the decision, I'm never going to have a supplemental shake again. I don't enjoy them. I don't like them. I'm never going to have one again. And I was like, oh, like, I just got so excited when you said that because I was like, she has succeeded at weight loss and keeping her weight off. And I don't ever have to eat a frozen prepared meal again. Like those nasty, gross meals.
Oh my God, the protein powder shake things. Oh my God. I have tried dozens and dozens of the amount of money I have spent and wasted on those things. I have never found one that tastes good to me. Never once. Like they are all awful. And you know, what's funny is I just recently was visiting a friend and they're like, oh, we make this amazing smoothie every morning. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll try it. And they're like, oh, we put this protein powder in. And I was like, we'll see about that. And I had one sip and I was just like, yep, that's a no for me. You know, and I just, you know, they just gave me a little bit, but I was like, you know, like I have a hard line for myself. Like I do not eat things that don't taste good. That doesn't taste good to me. I'm glad you love it. It's not for me. Thanks. I'm not going to have that.
Oh, listen, it was eye opening. And I would say this, you know, I am an internist. I specialized in nephrology, but I'm board certified internist. I mean, I'm who is supposed to be the person who knows how to lose weight and eat healthy. And not only that, but in my personal life, I had tried every major diet program out there. And I can tell you 100%, everything I knew was really wrong. And I knew it was wrong because it wasn't working. And I'm not bucking conventional medicine by any means, but the reality is we as physicians tell people, oh, eat less, exercise more, get in your calorie deficit and you'll lose weight. But the reality is Like, I think we're up to 85% of Americans are overweight now, right? Like, it's not working.
It's not working. We have so much evidence that that doesn't work, yet it's still like, no, no, no. Like, this is what you have to do. And on top of that, really the messaging, I mean, we don't typically say this, but kind of the underlying sort of like sub message is this is the solution. If you can't follow that or get results with that, it's your fault. You know, like I think I've talked about this one time before on the podcast, but my husband is also a doctor. And when he was in medical, when we were in medical school together, I don't know if he must have been on, I don't know what services he was on. It was probably like internal medicine or something like that, but he rotated through an obesity clinic. And this was, you know, many years ago. This is like over 20 years ago. You know, there's a woman who came in and had her whole list, like her whole food journal and everything she ate, and she hadn't lost weight. And they left, and the doctor, the attending, said to my husband, she's got to be lying. Like, if she's really eating that, she should be losing weight. And so clearly she's lying. And right, it's like, oh my God, does my heart hurt for everyone involved in that situation, right? Like, that is the messaging, is like, obviously you're doing something wrong. When else do we blame patients for what they're struggling with? Like, obviously this child is doing something wrong because they have strep throat. Like, no, like, this just happens. It's not your fault. Like, we, you know, it's just such an interesting kind of scenario that's been created around this like morality of like, you know, you're a good person if you're thin and you're able to lose weight and keep it off. And like, if not, it means something bad about you. And like, all of that is just nonsense. And it doesn't make any sense. Instead of just going like, you know what? I seem to be struggling. I mean, anything else, any other medical problem where we're like, you know, our failure rate is like extremely high, we'd be like, maybe we need to think about something different. Right. And instead we're like, you know what? I think making the stomach smaller is going to be the answer, which might be the, you know, one answer for some people, but right. Like, it's not going to be the end all be all. Like, we just have to get more creative and open our minds to other ways of approaching this to solve the problem, being more open to the non-tangible medical things like emotions, you know, like how you feel.
And that is the reason why I was so excited to share here. You know, I am not the person that's like, hey, everybody look at me, listen to my story at all. But I had so much shame. I thought one of two things, like I really thought my body was broken. Like, there's something weird that my body does not follow the standard rules initially. And then when I found your program and I was like, oh, I'm just doing it wrong. I'm like, I'm not going to have shame in this, because if I'm a board certified internal medicine doctor and a light quote lifelong member, I will never be back to those diet programs, but I have signed up and learned from the probably three biggest weight loss programs in America. I've had nutritionists at gyms. I'm an avid runner. And I was doing it wrong. I'm sure other people are doing it wrong. And I'm not going to have shame in that, right?
Right.
I'm not going to have shame in it.
If anything, it's like, once you figure out a solution, you're like, listen, people, you need to know about this. There's another way. Like, that's how I felt. I could have easily just kept this to myself and just been like, well, I've sorted it out for myself. Great. Then I'm like, I have a feeling there's other people though, who are struggling like I did, and they would like this information. They're out there searching just like I was. So thank you for coming on and sharing it. I really do appreciate that so much. So as you got into everything, were you surprised to kind of find out like, oh, this really isn't so much about the food? I mean, it is in the sense that, you know, there's certain ways of eating that support you, but once that was dialed in, the weight was falling off, what were you discovering about other things you wanted to work through?
So I always thought I ate because food was good.
100% right there with you. I just like food. That was my thing.
When this is what I thought, like, okay, so when I eat food that tastes good, it's calorie dense, I'm going to gain weight. So then the next month I have to go on whatever diet program and get it off. And so obviously I learned so many things in your program, but that was the biggest thing, was the hunger scale, like the hunger scale and the emotions, right? So, oh, you know, I was eating for every emotion. I was eating for every feeling, like I'm tired, I'm exhausted, you know, and I was turning to food for that. And so really dialing in and doing things, like I remember I did when I did a joy eat and I sat down with this food that I had really built up in my mind. And as I ate it, I did my worksheet and just realizing you know, just separating that out and putting on paper my feelings and reason for eating that. Like, I will never forget that moment. You know, I had never done that before. Any other time that I had had dessert or something I enjoyed, it was in like a party setting and just, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. It's so good. You know, and then waking up the next morning, oh, what did I do to myself? I'm miserable. Get on the scales. I feel sick at my stomach. Why did I have the third serving? You know, whatever. And so just really dialing into why I was eating was so eye-opening. I'd never done that because every other diet program I had taught was like, oh, if you have the urge to eat, look, have another shake. It's only 100 calories. Fill your tank. Make your stomach so full it's miserable. And then you have a new feeling. Or, you know, eat the 0 point foods. You know, I was never taught to eat for hunger. And so just doing your program, doing the modules where I said, oh, I have the urge to eat. This isn't urge. This is not hunger. Really dialing in the difference between urge and hunger and working through urges was definitely one of the most profound things that I have learned in my life.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh my gosh. Right. It is. It's like everything. It's actually like, it's what I love is like the messages have always been there. We just got disconnected from them. We used to listen to them when we were little. And then somewhere along the line, we got separated from them. So it's not like, oh, you need to like get your body to do anything. It's already doing it. What you have to learn is how to reconnect and interpret the messages. And there's the information. You don't need like, remember back in my day, oh my God, when I first started Weight Watchers, there was like a little cardboard like slider thing that you use to like figure out your points. I'd like go into the grocery store and try to be like sly and like figure out how many points a serving was for something. You know, now it's obviously like just an app on your phone. But back in the day, you know, like doing all that, you don't need that to help you figure out when you should stop eating, when you should start eating. It's such a relief. I feel like, don't you think? Like, it's such a relief to know that you already have that in you.
Yes. It was such a relief to know that my body was not broken. I had just been conditioned for things that didn't serve me.
Yes. And just like you can be conditioned, you can be deconditioned, which is like the best news ever. I always love saying that. I'm like, we all know Pavlov conditioned his dogs to drool and then he deconditioned them like this. It's not like, oh, he did that and that was the end of it, right? Like, it's like we are malleable in our brains. We are capable of doing this, which is so cool. So, so cool. So as you've been going through the program, there are a couple different areas that you've really delved into personally. And I think that that's something that, you know, we sometimes we're like, how do those things relate? Like, how is it like, you know, our personal stuff and our food, like, they're like separate things we think, but they're not at all, right? Because we eat because of the stressors and the issues that we have going on. So of course we have to work through those as well. So I would love it if you would share, you know, one of the things that you really delved into and made major progress on.
So the first thing I dove on in my work was my relationship with my teenage daughter. And I spent so much of my one-on-one coaching really dialing in my relationship with her. And I did it because I wasn't showing up the way I wanted to. The biggest thing I learned, she was the first person that I did what you call the model on, like, how do you expect her to work, you know, or how do you expect her to act? Like, what's your quote model for her?
And you mean like your rule book, like what the rules are, like what you think that she should be doing. Yes. Right. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, and I had a big long list and then just acknowledging I don't have control over her. I can only show up as me. And so this is kind of a funny story, but I'll use this example was the mess of her room. So the norm before I did your program, you know, whether it was first thing in the morning or when she got home from school, I was like, your room, there's trash, there's wet towels, there's clothes. You know, I really fussed at her. I nagged a whole lot. And then I decided after doing all my work, I was like, let me, you know, it's not a priority for her to have a clean room. So I'm going to give her some set defined guidelines. I actually wrote them out for her. And I just said, you know, these are the things that I care about. is that you don't put a wet towel on the floor because it can grow mold. And I care that you don't leave food in your room because we can get ants. And if you will keep your dirty dishes in the kitchen and you will pick up wet towels, however else you choose to live in your room, let's go with. If you can just do these two things. I literally wrote it out for her. And she was like, oh, well, I can do that. And I just explained to her, I said, I don't want us fighting about your room. It's not worth that to me. And so then I asked her a couple of weeks later, I said, you know, I'm off on Tuesdays. Would you enjoy if I cleaned your room on Tuesdays while you're gone to school? And she was like, I would love that. And so on Tuesdays, I clean her room and I so enjoy it. I feel close to her, even though she's not here, she's off at school. And every Tuesday, like she told me a while back, she's like, Tuesdays are my favorite days. And I was like, oh, I love this. And I would just share that, like, now at night, I go in her room and I lay down with her at the end of the day and we talk about everything and we laugh. And I had lost all of that. I had totally lost that connection with her and that time with her because I was so busy nitpicking her room. And I just made a conscious decision. I was like, you know what? If she grows up and she leaves this house and she doesn't know how to clean and she doesn't know how to do laundry, so be it. She can figure it out on her own. But she will leave this house knowing, or me sharing, that mom showed up the way I wanted to. I was in control of my actions. I was in control of my mood. And I was coming the way I wanted to show up. I just, that's how I would say that.
And you know what I love about that is, like, you know, some people be like, what? Like, she needs to know how to clean a toilet. She needs to know how to dust and vacuum. And what I think is, like, you know, she can learn that anywhere, but when she's in your home is the only chance that she'll have to experience true unconditional love on a regular basis from her mother. Like, that is not something that you can, like, farm out. Like, we all knew kids who showed up at college didn't know how to do their laundry. It's okay. They figured it out. Like, it's not like they didn't learn, you know what I mean? They figured it out. And I think some people might be like, well, great. So then now I'm going in there once a week to clean the room. But the reason why you were going in there is because you wanted to. You like the experience of it. You get to, it's for you. It's not even really for her because she didn't care. It's not her issue, right? Like, it's not important to her, but it's important to you. And, like, the way you're saying, you're like, you feel close, you feel connected, you are around her stuff, and you get to have the room the way you want it at the end, which I just absolutely love. And I do just want to point out for anyone listening who's like, well, hell no, I'm not going to be doing that. Also, you could have chosen to just shut the door and not do that. You don't have to clean it, but you also don't have to be mad about it, right? And I love how you have, like, some basic ground rules, right? Like, we can't have mold. We can't be, like, rotting the house out. We can't have, you know, an animal infestation. Outside of that, you know, some dust is some dust. What are we going to do? Like, we're going to just let it go. And I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to sacrifice our relationship over that. Because if the nagging was going to work, if all she needed was encouragement, she would have been doing it already, right? Yes. Yeah. And I think what I love about that is, like, so often I hear people saying, like, oh, teenagers are the worst. Just wait. It's the worst time. And I just don't think that it has to be that way. I like to just think of, like, that's conventional wisdom. And, like, I don't know that thinking that way serves anybody. Right? Like, it's almost like we need to get mad at them so that we're not so sad about them leaving. You know what I mean? Like, you can also just love them and, you know, like, let them leave, because that's a natural progression. We don't have to feel like we're all at odds and we can't stand it 1 second longer to make it okay that they, you know, separate out and become fully functioning adults on their own.
Right. And it's really helped me. One of the things, like I said, I've spent my one-on-one coaching, and I also journal about it. And I journal and I plan ahead how I'm going to show up, because my daughter is a full-on teenager. There are days she gets in the car and I'm just like, you know, because she is, you know, she's sharing negative thoughts, or, you know, she's annoyed in her words and all these things. And I'm like, you know what? I don't have to have any of those feelings with her. I can just have compassion, and I am going to do my thought work ahead of time so that when she comes in the car and she's, you know, using me as her thought dump, and I can just be there with compassion and love and let her get it all out. And I don't have to feel bad. I don't have to feel annoyed. I just get to be me with compassion and love and let her know this is a safe place. And I love what you said about just showing unconditional love. Like, you can get in mom's car and you can be mad or angry, frustrated, you know, throw your books in the floor, whatever. And mom's just going to be here with love.
Yeah. And I think that that is like, when you think about the experience you want your children to have, right? Like, and so many of us didn't experience that, right? Like the love we felt, you know, whether it was or wasn't, if we felt like that love was conditional from whoever raised us or whatever, like, it's so amazing to be able to just know, like, however she receives it, but I know that this is how I showed up and that I can be proud of, versus going like, she needs to be this certain way so that I can be proud of how I'm, you know, parenting, how I'm mothering, right? Like, it's a way for you to be able to control what you can control and stop trying to control that which you cannot control. It's like getting in your own lane and letting another human being live their life and have their experience, which is, yeah, sometimes the hardest thing. I mean, we coach on that quite a bit, right? Like, and, you know, all the way from like toddlers to, you know, adult children and everything in between. So yeah. And if it's not that, then it's like, we have rules for everybody in our lives, like how our sisters should be and our aging parents and, you know, like, right. Like, and our friends and our, you know, the people we work with and our patients and all of it. So, yeah, I would love for you to talk a little bit more about work too, because you were saying like you were, you know, when you came into the program, you were ready to quit. And I think a lot of people were. I don't know if COVID kind of, you know, if this was already in the works significantly for you before COVID hit, or if COVID kind of put you over the line. But I think a lot of doctors have been like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
It had been in the works for a long time. It had been 10 plus years since I enjoyed my job. And yeah. And I will tell you, like, it's hard to not get teary eyed. I'm like, wait, I wanted this job from the time I was 5 years old. I went to school for 15 years after high school to right. have this job. Right. Like, I'm so mentally confused here. Why do I dislike it so much? So again, I did my work on my work, and I really worked on my dread. And in my thought work, and this is not actioning myself out of anything, but in my work, I realized that I was going to clinic for a 7-hour clinic. My office, I go to the hospital in the morning and I have office like 10 to 4, which goes to 5, you know, because you always run over. And I was going to office and I was so afraid of being behind and I was so afraid of not pleasing patients that I didn't drink water. I did not go to the bathroom. I did not take a lunch break. And when I really started looking at that, I was like, well, no wonder my body does not want to take me to work. It's going to be treated very poorly for the next 7 hours. You know, I would dread it too. Like, who wouldn't? Okay, we're going to put you in this tank and we're going to time you on the clock and you've got to go, 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 go. And any personal needs you have, you don't get to address. Well, everybody would be miserable, right?
And meanwhile, you're trying to get other people to be happy, which is impossible.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So the biggest things I did with that was I worked on the thought that I'm worth waiting for.
I love that one.
I know I am never more than an hour behind. I mean, that's an extreme day. Most days I'm 20, 30 minutes behind. And an extreme day would be an hour behind. And in some of my work, I was like, you know what? If I had a complex heart condition and I had waited 3 months to get in to see this special cardiologist and I had to wait an hour, I wouldn't bat an eye. I would be thankful to be there. And like, it's finally my turn, you know? So what I did was I quit apologizing at work if I was late. You know, if I go in a room and somebody says,
my appointment was at 12:30 and it's 1 o'clock.
I'm like, oh yeah, it's 1 o'clock. Well, how's your blood pressure been doing? And I just, it's a fact, right?
Yeah.
And it's so funny. The other thing I did, and because I did this, you know, I started your program a year and a half ago, was I just offered my patients that were unhappy with me. I said, you know what? We may not be a fit. I have a list of 30 other nephrologists in this city. Louisville has tons of kidney doctors. Here's the list. I want you happy with your physician, and I'm okay if it's not me. And I will tell you, I only did that to 3 people. I think one of them chose another doctor. But two of them are now like my best patients ever. Like one wrote me an apology letter, like wow. how appreciative he was for me. And I just said, you know, I work in an environment where I take care of sick people and my work is not predictable. And when someone sick comes in, I give them my attention. And that may mean I'm late. And if I'm not the doctor for you, that's okay. And I had never looked at work that way. I had always looked at it as I was doing something wrong. I should be better with my time management. How have I failed? My patients don't like me. You know, I had all of these thoughts running through my mind that made me not enjoy work. And when I really broke it down, I was like, I'm letting two or three bad apples ruin the bunch, right? If I quit work, then hundreds and hundreds of patients are without a doctor. If I give a letter that I've typed up to three patients that don't seem to enjoy our interaction, okay, now I have 997 patients. And right. so whatever, right? But if yeah. I quit, then there's 1,000 people looking for a doctor.
Yes.
And I don't know my exact patient number, but I just
yeah,
use
yeah.
that as an
yeah,
example.
For example. Yeah.
But just doing that work just so changed things. And then I've also done fun things at work. And I love where you say, let me back up and say this. I'm not actioning my way out of any of my thoughts, but I do choose things that make my thought work easier. So I make sure every day when I go to work, I love ice. So I take two big mugs of ice so I can refill my water and have cold water. And I take mugs that are from vacations or fun times just because they bring me joy, just to look at them and, you know, be reminded of meaningful times in my life brings me joy. The other thing I did was I swapped out my clocks from like the white and black Starkey hospital clocks that you see in office. And I got pretty clocks,
nice.
You know,
yeah, just looking at the time all the time. Might as well look at something pretty.
Right.
And that isn't actually, that's just like bringing innate pleasure into your day. Like who says that work has to be so, you know, like uncomfortable and difficult and right. Like you can look at whatever clocks you want to have a fun cup to drink out of. Why not? It's amazing.
Yeah. And so that dread is just, it is gone. It is so, so gone. And now like I see, it's interesting how my brain worked because before, you know, I had all these thoughts that I wasn't good enough or I wasn't pleasing people. And now that my thoughts are different, I see all the patients that thank me when I'm looking through it with a different lens, like, and I'm not doing it for their gratification, but just the fact that I see that now, I see the people that say, you made the difference, you know, I'm better. Or they come in and say, oh, you don't know my uncle. You probably didn't know that whoever was my uncle, but he was in the hospital and you saved his life. And I'm like, oh, and I'm in a better place now where I can let those thoughts come in and really resonate with me because I was in a place before when someone offered those thoughts, I had a wall up. Nope. I'm 30 minutes behind. I'm all of these negative things.
Oh, they're just being nice. Like, you know, they feel like they have to say that. But what that all comes down to is allowing yourself to have a positive opinion about yourself. When you have a negative opinion about yourself, when your self-worth is low, then other people offer you, you know, kind words and you're not able to hear it because you're like, no, they don't really know the truth about me. When you do that work to go, no, you know what? I am of great, I myself am valuable and what I do is of great value. Then they are letting you know that they found it valuable too. And you're like, yeah, I agree. Isn't that awesome? Thanks for letting me know. Like it's like you're able to let it land and able to sit with it versus this constant, like, no, the way I get to feel good is when I'm always on time and everyone's happy with me. And like all these things that are just plain impossible, you know, it's just not possible to create that experience. And it's exhausting as you're trying to do it when then we're in full on burnout, feeling like we're not making a difference. It's awful every single day. Feel like we're failing all the time. I mean, you know, why would you want to continue if that's your experience of it?
Right. And that was one of the things that you had shared with us at some point was you said, whatever you believe, your brain is going to find evidence to support that belief. So when I had the beliefs that I wasn't good with time management, I wasn't an adequate physician, I wasn't keeping up. When I had those beliefs about me, I just spent my day finding evidence for those beliefs. And now that I truly believe I'm enough. You know, I did the work. And another thing we talked about was, what's your minimum? You know, like, okay, I'm board certified. I stay up on CMEs. I'm going to read one journal a month, right? I'm never going to know everything about my field. Never. But if I do these things, if I keep up my board certification, I keep up my CME, and I keep up, you know, I read my one nephrology journal a month, that's enough. That's enough. That's the doctor I am. And so just having that self-worth and just knowing, like, I don't have to read every journal out there. And that sounds so silly now looking back. Like, why did I ever put all of that on me? Right? Like, why?
But it comes from a lack of, you know, self-sufficiency, right? You're not enough. So therefore you need to know more, right? You don't know enough. So like, reading one journal isn't enough. Reading five journals isn't enough. Reading 25 journals isn't enough, because you're not enough, right? The belief makes you think that there's like an amount that will make you feel differently, but it's not, right? It's like, you have to just decide, what, this is what I offer and it is enough. This is, you know, what I make sure I do, because I feel like that keeps me where I want to be in terms of knowledge and quality of care. And anything besides that is a bonus, not required. I don't have to do that. And I know that I'm able to offer something of value, not like this is so common, right? We coach on this all the time. This idea that like, I just feel like I don't know enough. All these other people are more experienced. If it's not knowledge, right? Like, fund of knowledge, then it's experience. And then, you know, the more experienced you are, then you have complications, right? Mistakes get made, or just things don't work out the way you'd hope they would. And then you can use that against yourself. Like, it's, you will never know enough or have enough experiences for you to finally feel like you're enough. It is a decision. It's not an amount of anything. And that's what you've done here. This is such a great example where you've just decided, like, what I offer is of great value. I believe in what I offer. And to be able to keep up that quality, these are the things that I do. And that is enough. Like, I don't have to be constantly striving for this level of perfection that's unattainable and makes me miserable in my attempt to achieve it.
Right. It's so true. And I'm just so thankful that I enjoy it. I just, like I said, nothing really changed at work other than I have my water, which I really...
You drink now, let yourself go to the bathroom.
I know, right? Right? Which is funny because I lecture all day long to my patients about drinking the right amount of water for
them. You're a nephrologist. The irony. I miss that. That's so good.
Yes. Yes. And I'm like, oh. And
it's, you of all people, right?
Yeah. I know. So, and it's been great for me to share that with my patients. Like, look, this is what I do. Do this to get your water in. You know, I give them great tips.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. And, you know, enjoying your work is like allowed. I think sometimes we have this idea that like, it's work and it's got to feel like work. Like, or you can also figure out a way to enjoy it since you're spending a good chunk of your life there. You know, like, it is okay to figure out ways to make it fun, pleasurable, pleasant, enjoyable, whatever it is that you want it to be, fun. Like, and you know, maybe just a little letting yourself have a little fun banter with patients from time to time, you know, certain ones who are open to that. Like, letting yourself find the enjoyment in it is what makes it something that you can do long term. You know, why would you want to, you know, slog away in this suffer fest for decades? Like, of course you're going to be at a certain point going, I don't think I can do this anymore. Like, I got to figure out some other thing. But what we think is that doing something else is going to be the ticket that's going to make us feel the way we want to feel. And it won't, right? Because if you don't think you're enough there, you're going to think you're not enough in other places too. Like, don't, no matter what you decide to do, you know, what I always say, right? Like, get happy with where you are now and then decide if you want to do something else. Just because you want to do something else, that is okay to do something else, but not because you're trying to escape the experience that you're creating yourself.
And I'm so glad you touched on something that's been really important to me in this program, and that is enjoying work, because I take care of very sick people, and I take care of people that are at the end of their life, and I take care of people that are dying. And I had a lot of internal guilt, like, how can I go to work and this be fun for me, right? Like, how can I enjoy this when others are suffering, right? And through your program, that is one of the things I've really worked on with my one-on-one coaching, is really just getting into my brain. This is their illness. This is their life. These are not things that I have given them or wished upon them. But what I can do is, if I'm happy with me, then I show up as my best and I give them my best. And isn't that what they want?
Yes. Right? You're like, you can be like a ray of light in their day. Right. And remembering that there's no amount of suffering that you can do that will personally, that will relieve the suffering that they're experiencing. Right. Like you feeling worse does not relieve their suffering. So then what is the point? That's pointless suffering then, right? There's enough things to be, you know, suffering through in life as a human in this world. Like, we don't need to add to it thinking that somehow that's going to help them. Such a perspective shift.
Yeah. And that came back to my self-worth, right? Working on the fact that I'm worthy of my health and this body that I get to live in, regardless of what's going on with other people in their bodies.
Right. Right. You get to take care of your kidneys and other people's kidneys.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
It's so good. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing those. I think those are just such great, great examples. I would love it if you just had any kind of final comments or kind of final takeaways, if you could share those. I mean, you really were the person who was like, I don't know what this is, but I'm doing it. So I love that, because it's just totally late. You're like, I didn't even know what I was going to find, but this is what I found. So I'd love for you to share that.
I think I cannot say enough to not have shame, not feel bad. Like, to anybody else who is where I was when I started, your body is not broken. You have been taught things that don't serve you. And this is a new way to do it. And the biggest thing that I would say from coming in, not knowing what I was getting into, now, obviously you're the only coaching program I've ever done, but I've talked to people that have been coached and had things, is that your program is really a whole life program. I just think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm to you on you talking to you directly, but it is phenomenal what you've created. I cannot thank you enough. I mean, the one-on-one coaching has definitely changed my life, but the program, I don't know if everybody realizes what your program, maybe they do, but I didn't. I mean, there are things, I worked through everything in this program. I did finances. I did my spiritual belief. I did my relationship with my husband. I mean, there, every aspect of my life has been touched on with the information that you've given me in your program and has been improved. I mean, absolutely everything. And I'll just say this. I remember this one time, you know, you say all the time, like on the group coaching calls, like, listen, dial in. How does this affect you? And I'll just give one quick example. There was a night where somebody was trying to decide to have another baby or not, you know, if she wanted to attempt a pregnancy. And I started to tune out. I'm like, I have 5 kids. This isn't me.
You're like, I'm done. That ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed. And I just listened. I'm like, what Katrina says to listen and relate it to your life. So I'm going to do it. Like, literally, I said that to myself. Like, how does this relate? And so you all had it was a great coaching call on decision making. And my husband and I were in the middle of trying to make like a financial commitment for a decision we were making. And it so helped me. It so helped me with making that decision, not looking back, feeling confident with that. And so, and that is nothing that I would have ever brought to my one-on-one coaching, right? Nothing. I would have never been like, hey, Emma, tell me how to make this financial decision. But I learned so much in that coaching call. It really helped me. And honestly, my husband too, because I went back and I was like, I have these thoughts. Like, let's play it out like this. And then we made a good decision and we didn't look back and we were proud of that decision. We were proud of where we came from with it. So just the fact how encompassing the program is with the one-on-one, with the grouping coaching, with the modules, with the information, it touches every aspect of your life. If you want to really show up the way you want to show up, like, this is the way to do it. And I admit, I don't know how to do it.
I want to just point out, though, that the reason that's all in there is because we think the weight is just about food, right? We think it's just this one little corner of our lives, but it's the everything else in our lives is like coming in through this funnel of eating and food and maybe alcohol for some people, right? And so it's like, if we want to really permanently not rely on food anymore, we have to explore all those dusty, cobwebby corners with all the little different things. That is not that it's like, oh, I've got 45 different problems and I have to spend all this time on all of them, but it's more just exploring how are these different patterns. Usually we're doing the same thing in multiple areas of our lives. So it's like you work on one kind of core issue and it solves a lot of problems for you. But working through all of that, improving all of that makes it so you don't need to rely so much on food. Your brain isn't like, well, this sucks really bad. Like, I know the answer. It's in the freezer in the form of ice cream, you know, or whatever it is, right? Like, you know how to actually work through it when things are hard, and you get to enjoy the kind of the fruits of your labor for working through all of that, you know, for sure. And I love how you said that, right? Like, should I have a baby or not? You know, there's plenty of people who are like, I am not in that position to make that decision, but it's not even about the baby or not the baby. It's making the decision. How do you make a decision when you're not sure, when you really could go either way, when you feel like you're being pulled equally in both directions? And that's why I say that every time. I'm like, I'm telling you, there's gold in here. You just got to be looking for it. You got to figure out how to apply it to your life. And that's what I think makes group coaching so powerful, right? In our program, you're getting the one-on-one help that you need, and you're learning from other people on issues that you would never even think to bring, exactly like what you said. Yeah, that's so amazing. And you know what's funny is we haven't even talked about the fact that you lost 35 pounds.
Right. Yeah.
Not about that part. Like, oh, right.
By the way, that happens. That happens. Yeah. And I'll say this too. I'm so excited. You know, I still have 15, 20 pounds to go to get to goal. And when I offered to do the podcast, I was like, I'm not at goal. And then I remember you at some point saying you started coaching before you were at goal. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. But where I am is such a different place. Like, because I know my weight is still coming off. I know that goal weight is there. And it just, I just have love and compassion. Like, I'm just going to show up for my body, give it what it needs, follow my protocol, stick to my plan. And my body's going to let go of this weight. You know, maybe it's over the next year. Maybe it's the next 6 months. It can let go of it whenever it wants. You know, I'll be happy and grateful if it's in 6 months from now or a year from now. It's my Amazon package that's in the mail.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Totally. Totally. And I think that's the best way to approach it, right? If we're like so focused in on the food and everything, it's like what I'm always like, no, what you need to do is stop emotionally eating. So yeah, you need to make sure that you're following your plan, but also, where are you still using food to make yourself feel better? Where are you not willing to feel? Where are you still not really connected with yourself and supporting yourself? And maybe that's, you know, not getting enough sleep and staying up too late sometimes or whatever. Like those are the things that we have to work through. And you know what I'm always saying? I'm like, listen, I don't care what you weigh at all. Like, literally doesn't matter to me at all. But what I care about is that you finish the process of learning how to not emotionally eat, and then you can just decide what you want to weigh. Right? Like, you can weigh any number you want because you know how to, you know, create that in your body, and you know how to maintain it because you're not using food in that way. You know, like, you might decide you want to come back to this weight because you just want to be able to, you know, have some more exceptions more often. Totally fine. Amazing. But you're not just like, you know, at the end of the day, eating like the stale, you know, donuts out of the break room because, like, God, you know, you spend 7 hours and you haven't, you know, haven't sat down for a second, let alone go to the bathroom. And this is your only relief. Like, that's the part that we need to make sure is no longer there. And then you just decide what you want to weigh. Yeah.
And that's the biggest gift I think I've given. And I would say this, having gone through the program, the gift that I've given myself, you know, I would totally attribute that to you, but your program taught me to give myself this gift, but that is control over my decision-making. And I was not in control before. I was not in control. Like, I had whatever emotion, and I would, you know, would wake up that morning and say, I'm not going to eat bad food. And then sure, lo and behold, I'm in a drive-through getting bad food. I was not in control of that before this program. And now I'm like, I know how my brain works. I know how to serve it. I know what it needs when it sends me those urges and those feelings. I just feel like I know how my brain works. And I didn't really know that before.
Right. Exactly. It's like, once you understand it, then you can work with it. Instead of this constant back and forth of like, oh, see, now I went through the drive-through again and I'm awful and I'm never going to figure this out. And, you know, just the whole cycle again and again. I mean, anyone who struggled with their weight understands that hamster wheel of like, you know, urge, desire. Ah, I just really want this thing, live a little, you know, like I just, it's okay. I'm after the day I had, it's okay to eat this, and then feeling awful and then pledging to do better and swearing and promising yourself you won't do it anymore. And then doing it again. And what that does to your thoughts about yourself, your relationship with yourself, like, it all ties together. And like you were saying with, you know, your confidence and your self-worth at work, like that all, like when you do that work to improve your opinion of yourself, that helps in every area, including with your eating and your weight. Cause you're like, yeah, you know what? Like, I am worth sorting this out. I'm not so worthless that it's not even, you know, worth my time and effort to figure this out or sort out what, you know, what's going on for me. I might as well just eat because, you know, I don't deserve nice things or to, you know, have what I want in life or whatever those thoughts are. Right. It all, it's like, it's all woven together in my mind, right? It's like our experience of our lives and what we eat and weight and everything, they're all interrelated. And so that is why we touch on everything, which is a good thing. And I think, you know, so often people have come into the program and had great success. They're like, I was just here for the weight loss, you know, but I didn't realize all these other things could become so much better in the process. And it's like, in my mind, I'm like, they have to come together. Like, cause you can lose weight on your own in a million different ways, but you'll just gain it back if you don't do that other work on your life and really, you know, sorting things out. So I love that. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of this and just being so honest. Like I, you know, that's me. I'm always like, listen, I'll just tell you how it is. And you are exactly the same way that you're just like, listen, you just need to know this is how it is. So I really appreciate you just coming on and sharing the story. I know it's going to be inspiring to so many people.
Well, awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Ready to start making progress on your weight loss goals? For lots of free help, go to KatrinaEubelMD.com and click on free resources.